Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Ghirelli, Italy's premier rosary designer, creates beautiful heirloom quality rosaries for every season and celebration. Hundreds of unique rosaries honoring Jesus, Mary, and the saints await you at Ghirelli.com. With CMF Curo, you don't have to compromise your faith to get great health care. Finally, there is a pro-life option that respects and engages your Catholic faith with a community that supports you in living healthcare fully alive. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. Introducing the redesigned catholicsingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used catholicsingles.com, and the reimagined catholicsingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, catholicsingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
In the fifth week of our Lenten series that we've been calling What on Earth Am I Here For? A series taking a long and sometimes serious look at a very important question concerning our lives, specifically the purpose of our lives. And to kick off this series, we ask that question, why? As in, why am I here? We can find ourselves asking that question in any of very many different scenarios that we find ourselves in as we live our lives, at school, at work, in the office, at home. It's not really a big deal unless and until it is. Unless and until we start asking that question about big, serious areas of our life, like our vocation and direction in life, our jobs and careers, our friendships, relationships. And it's an even bigger deal to know our why when it comes to the whole span of our life. Think about it. Imagine living your whole life and not really understanding, not really knowing why you're here, why you exist. In the business of life, that why question, sometimes it doesn't get asked early enough. But asking and answering that question is vitally important. It provides purpose and meaning. It adds value. It'll get us through the difficult times and make the good times far more enjoyable. Most importantly, if we're to have a life of meaning and significance, if we're to flourish and develop and grow as we were designed to do, we need to know why we're here. So, as we've learned in this series, turns out, you matter. You matter to God more than you'll ever know or understand. Before he spoke creation into being, the God of heaven and earth knew your name. He planned you before your birth. He wants you to live with him forever in heaven. He knows everything about your life. He cares about all the details. He made you to love you. You were created as the object of his love. The purpose of this life is to begin to live in the light of eternity. And so this Lent, as a church family, we're looking at what that means specifically. God's purposes as they're revealed to us in Scripture. The ways that we access the grace and strength that comes to us from God so that we can grow in character, bear the good fruit of good work, and get ready for eternity. God's purposes for our life. There are five. We've talked about worship, you were planned for God's pleasure. Fellowship, you were formed for God's family. Discipleship, you were created to be like Christ. Ministry, you were shaped to serve God and others and mission. You were made to bring Christ to the world. So 3 weeks ago, we looked at that first purpose, which is worship. As human beings, we're designed to worship. We absolutely will worship. We'll worship whatever we believe brings us value and significance. When we worship God, we acknowledge that it is God Himself who ultimately brings us that meaning and significance we're craving. We looked at the three ways that we can worship God: through our attention, our affection, and our ability. Then 2 weeks ago, we looked at that second purpose. Beyond worship, there is fellowship. We were formed for God's family. We talked about the different ways that we can experience God's family and its benefits, especially here at Mass and in our communion together, and then also in our small group fellowship. And then last week, Brian spoke. That guy is getting way too good. I'm going to have to step up my game. But he talked about discipleship. We're created to become more like Christ, formed in His character. Well, today, we're going to look at another purpose, a fourth purpose for our living, which is service. You were made to serve. You've been made to serve, and you absolutely will serve. You will. You'll serve something or somebody, even if that somebody is only yourself. We absolutely will serve. Now, on the one hand, we can bristle against that. Being told that we absolutely have to and will serve can feel like an obligation we don't want. Sometimes we're just interested in being left alone or getting along on our own. But on the other hand, we already know, all of us already know, the joy of serving. The moments that we found the deepest joy, the richest satisfaction comes when we're giving ourselves to others. The paradox of life is the more I make my life about blessing and serving others, the more I open myself to blessings. Service brings blessings. It brings joy. It also leaves a legacy. When you finally leave your school, your job, your career, your family, when you leave this earth, you will be remembered for the contribution that you made there, for your service. Service brings blessing, and it leaves a legacy. And that's part of the plan from the beginning. You were made to serve. Scripture tells us this. We read in one place, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good work God has prepared for us in advance, that we should live in them. God has prepared in advance good work for you to do, work that He's counting on you to do, work that will remain undone if you don't do it. And notice those last three words of the verse from Ephesians: live in them. Living in the light of eternity means serving right now. You know, we serve on earth for a little while, and then we serve in heaven forever. Heaven will be heaven in part because everyone will be committed to love one another by serving one another. We'll serve in heaven forever. We get started, we get to practice so that we get good at it right now. So how do we do it? How do we live out this purpose of service? Well, as you can imagine, lots of ways, but actually there are three distinct ways that we serve. The first is simple as can be, taking on the menial tasks all around us all the time that nobody else wants to do. Taking out the trash without being asked. Emptying the dishwasher, even when it's not your turn. cleaning out the refrigerator in your office lunchroom. I actually love to do that. It's not your job. It's not your responsibility. Nobody will ever notice. You won't get any immediate recognition for it. And you do it anyway. Stopping to help someone who's changing a flat tire. Cleaning up an elderly neighbor's backyard. Stepping in to help a mom struggling with kids and groceries and all the mom gear that they carry around. Do that, and you've just done ministry. Really. Really. And God will notice, and God will reward you for it. The second way we live out this purpose of service is by using our gifts, our abilities, our strength, our talents, our position to serve others rather than ourselves. No matter who you are, you've got something to offer others. Your power, your influence, your position. Parents, coaches, teachers, managers, executives, business owners, professionals of all kinds, you all have obvious positional power that you can use to positively impact others or positively impact the situation that others operate in. Our temptation, our tendency, the pull is always going to be to use our stuff for ourselves. That's not natural enough. But God has in mind another plan in which we use the stuff that we've got in service to others. Maybe it's choosing what's best for our employees at the risk of our own agenda or our profit margin. Maybe it's challenging someone who's bringing down the rest of the team or being disruptive in the family. Maybe it's making a tough call or a difficult decision that you don't want to make, that you know is the right thing to do. You might not think you're in a position to serve in this way, and you'd be wrong. I know an elderly lady who from time to time comes here to daily mass, and she always greets me so warmly. She's so charming that I go out of my way just to run into her because she always makes my day. My dental hygienist is so empathetic that it's actually hard to get an appointment with her because everybody wants to see her. Teenagers, you might think this morning that you don't have any influence, and you'd be wrong. The teenagers who serve here in our middle school program actually have tremendous influence on our middle school students who look up to them and revere them. Wherever you are in life, whatever you do, you can serve in simple ways that bring value to the lives of others. And then there's a third way we serve, which is serving here in our church family. And we call this kind of service ministry. And we read all about it in today's second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. St. Paul teaches us this: whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. So the old way of doing things is doing things only for ourselves. The new thing, among other things, that Christ introduces is living to love others through service that honors God. Paul continues. All of this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. So God has reconciled himself to us through the service of Christ's life, and most of all, his death on the cross. Christ on the cross is described elsewhere in the Bible as the suffering servant. Christ on the cross is the suffering servant. When we serve, especially when our service costs us something, especially when our service is a sacrifice, we're acting like Christ. And when we're acting like Christ, we're becoming like Christ. Paul calls this the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? He goes on. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting our trespasses against us, but entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation means that God doesn't count our faults and failures against us. Think about that. God doesn't count our faults and failures against us. He's not keeping a scorecard. He's not adding up everything I've ever done wrong to give me a failing grade at the end of the day. God doesn't work like that. We hold grudges. He doesn't. Instead, he's much more interested in entrusting to us this message of reconciliation, a message that gets most effectively communicated through ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. What a beautiful phrase. The ministry of reconciliation means that our service here in our church family to honor God isn't just busy work. It's not just a question of us being nice people. It's a deliberate reflection of Christ's service on the cross. The ministry of reconciliation means that because we have been redeemed and come to know the truth of our redemption, we have a job to do. We have a job to do here in our church family so that others can come to know that truth too. You know, if the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ministers around here, basically, we only have 5 ministries. We like to keep it simple that way because we think the simplicity makes it more accessible. So we've got children's ministries, student ministries, hospitality, member care, and operation. That's it. And all of our ministers, from our parking ministers in the parking lot to the greeters at the front door to the host ministers in the sanctuary to our ops team behind the scenes, our cafe ministers behind the counter, our tech ministers behind the cameras, our children ministers, our student ministers, our pastoral care ministers, they're all about the ministry of reconciliation. Obviously, they've got a job to do and tasks that have to be accomplished. Obviously, we could hardly do only a small portion of what we do here without our member ministers. They are the lifeblood of this parish and my personal heroes. But at the end of the day, besides whatever else they're doing, they are ministers of reconciliation. You know, everywhere we go to speak, very first question I'm always asked, it's never about the music or my message or my theories or even this amazing new facility. It's always about our ministers. I always get the question, how do you do it? How do you get so many people serving? We can't get anyone to do anything in our church. It's always the same people doing the same thing over and over again. How do you do it? Parish leaders everywhere willing to fly me around the world to answer the secret to this mystery. And I tell them I've actually cracked a code when it comes to getting people involved in serving in church. How do we do it? We ask them. So from time to time, my job is to get up here and ask you to serve. Our goal, every member a minister, every member from grade 5 to age 105. If you're 106, you get a pass, you can sit this one out. But everybody else, we'd like you to join the team because we'd like every member to be a minister. And honestly, we're not quite there yet, but you can help get us there. You can help us this morning. Just fill out one of these cards that you got on your way in or stop by the ministry tables in the concourse after Mass to learn more. Our ministry team leaders are out there just waiting to answer your questions and help you out. Today's gospel brings the unexpected and, for me, unexpectedly moving story of the prodigal son, the unbounded mercy of the father, the return of the son to that mercy, a perfect illustration of the ministry of reconciliation that we're talking about. Because we have been reconciled to God in Christ, we act differently in the world. At least we should. We've been given a work to do that is ours, and ours alone to do, and will not be given to another. And like that father in the story, waiting and watching for his son, God our Father is just waiting and watching for us. He's just waiting and watching for us to accept this invitation.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.